Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of the Denver Crux podcast. I'm your host, Jared Hazel, and today I'm sitting down with Frank McGinn. Frank is a member of a local Denver rock band called Hello Central. That's one word, by the way. And I met Frank out on a outdoor climbing expedition. We started chatting about music and came to find out that he was in the local Denver music scene. So I happened to put his music on the drive back home, and I instantly fell in love with it. It was just very reminiscent of a lot of the music that I used to listen to back in the day and that I still do today. So it was a real honor having Frank on. I had to reach out to him. He was kind enough to come out, and we just chatted about the love of music and how music means something different to everyone. But at the end of the day, music is just inherently good. So I hope you guys enjoy. You guys can find Frank on, or I should say the entire band, Hello Central, on their Instagram, which is Hello Central. They're also on Facebook if you need to reach out. They've got a lot of great upcoming shows, so I hope to see you guys out there. Awesome. All right, well, dude, I am super stoked. All right, we have Frank McGinn here on the podcast. Did I say that right, McGinn?
You did, yes.
Last name. All right, cool. Yep. Part of a band called Hello Central. So yeah. I'm stoked, like I said. Very cool to be interviewing a musician today, because, like I said, of all the creative type jobs out there and passions and stuff, I think a musician and being a part of a band and creating music is way up at the top of just, it's something that blows my mind because I am not a musician. But all right, man. So dude, again, thanks for driving out today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
From the Wash Park area. Oh yeah. Shout out to Wash Park.
Shout out to Wash Park. Beautiful day in Denver.
Yeah, dude. I used to live in, Cap Hill when I first moved here.
Oh, Cap Hill.
Yep. Yep. I was in Cap Hill. I had some buddies in Wash Park. I would always run over to Wash Park. I love the park itself. Mm-hmm. Like I love doing some PT over there. There's some, the lakes. There's
mountain views.
A ridiculous amount of geese.
Oh, so much geese. Yeah, so much geese poop, which is not cool.
That I had to avoid, man. So, dude, I want to bring it all the way back, man. Where were you born at?
Yeah, so I was born in the good old 845 in New York, Poughkeepsie, New York. It's about 2 hours north of New York City. So, you know, I could go to the city anytime I wanted, but, you know, mostly like grew up in the suburbs, you know, tiny little village. So,
okay. How long were you there for?
Yeah, so I grew up in Poughkeepsie, and then I went to college at RIT in Rochester, New York. So pretty much on the other, you know, upstate side of New York. You know, I always called Poughkeepsie like the fake upstate. But when I really got to Rochester and I felt those howling winds and all that snow, I was like, this is the real upstate. So I went to college there, and then right after college, got my bachelor's, and in 2015, fall of 2015, came out to Colorado.
What'd you study in school?
I studied marketing.
Marketing.
Yeah,
okay.
I originally started as a photography major, but yeah, which is kind of interesting. But I found out it was more of like a hobby to me than something I could, you know, make a career out of. So kept it that.
So were you? I mean, that's all the way up until college. Were you already a musician at that point?
Honestly, not really. I'm not like a traditional, like classically trained musician. I mean, I grew up, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I was kind of like, you know, one of those, I guess you call them like those emo kids that would go to all the shows. And like, you know, I grew up on like, you know, a ton of different bands in that scene. I had a couple different bands in high school, but like, you know, looking back, I mean, it wasn't more than just like a battle of the bands type deal.
Interesting. Yeah. So when did you pick up your first instrument?
So I will say, I did pick up the guitar after seeing the movie School of Rock in 2004.
Classic
movie. Yeah, I literally saw the movie and I went and I was like, Mom, we gotta go to, you know, I think at the time it was called like Alto Music. I was like, we gotta go to Alto Music. I gotta get a guitar. You know, I want to be Jack Black. So I went and picked up a guitar there. And yeah, it was fun. You know, got a couple lessons. But yeah, it was kind of like an on and off type thing. High school, you know, I played a little bit more, and then, but I feel like I really discovered music when I kind of like came out here, honestly. That was when I really started taking it seriously, and I was like, oh, this is like really cool. You know, I found out I enjoyed like creating and songwriting and all that. But yeah, back then, you know, I was just like, you know, learning like classic covers, like dun 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 dun, like stuff like that.
Nothing crazy. Did you feel like you had a natural proclivity to it? Was it something that was just flowing through your...
No, not at all.
No?
I was not natural at all. I was not good. You know, it was something, you know, I had to practice to, like, you know, get good at it. But yeah, I really don't think it came, like, too naturally. Yeah, you know, to be honest.
Interesting.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of musicians out there that they pick it up and it's like, you know, they've been playing like a year and they're, you know, they're just shredding and all that. I feel like I was never really like a natural like that, but I've always had like a good ear. Like I could always tell when something like sounded good or sounded off. So that part of music has come naturally to me. Like I can always like hear things and pick it up. But in terms of like, yeah, the actual like technicalities, I feel like that comes with a little bit more practice for me.
So when you did like your first lessons and stuff, were you doing like the actual like reading notes, or were you on like tabcrawler.com?
I was learning some tabs. I mean, I feel like
I was all about
it,
tabs too.
Yeah. Tabs are fun. I mean, a lot of musicians, like really popular musicians out there nowadays, like can't read music. Like, you know, I got nothing. I can read a little music, but it's nothing too crazy. But yeah, no, I was just like, you know, if there was a song I really liked or like a cool riff, I would like print out the tabs, you know, use my printer, and then I'd bring it to the lesson. I'd be like, all right, let's learn to play this. And so then I would, you know, learn to play it, practice it. Yeah, stuff like that. Nothing crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah. All different genres too. Like I was kind of all over the place. I'm trying to think of, you know, like one cover I used to do back in the day was like Dispatch the General, which is like completely out of like the realm of like the music I play now. So stuff like that is just cool.
So when you were up in New York, have you touched climbing yet?
So no, honestly.
Okay.
Well, which is kind of, it's a little unfortunate because the area I grew up in, you know, obviously, you know, I've been back there from time to time, but I haven't like lived there, you know, for extended period of time since like 2015. But I realized I was like really close to a good area of climbing called the Gunks. Yeah, which you probably heard of.
I was going to ask if you're in New York.
I know.
Are you crushing the Gunks?
No, I never crushed the Gunks. You know, I only picked up climbing when I came out to Colorado, funny enough, you know. Gotta be a wannabe Colorado kid coming out here as a transplant. But yeah, no, I found out I was like really close to an area called the Gunks. And I like went back, like I only been back a couple times since I like first started climbing, and I was like, oh man, this is a really nice area that I never took advantage of as a kid, just because I never, you know, knew anyone that climbed or anything, never really got into it. But yeah, maybe one day I'll go back and, you know, I'll climb the Gunks.
I mean, it's kind of, I mean, you kind of have the climbing paradise here.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's not going to be that much of like a shock to you when you go back to like the Gunks.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's
but right. Still cool spot from what I hear. I've never climbed there, just full disclosure, but I've seen some cool videos.
Yeah.
So you come over to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and what changes with the music thing? Because did you rewatch School of Rock and that brought it back, or?
No, I'll be honest. And there was one moment when, for music, for me, I kind of changed where I was like, oh, this is like kind of cool. Like, I feel like I can do this. And it was one of my buddies, shout out to my buddy Kenny Liu. He completely got me back into music. He's like an insane guitarist, an amazing musician. And he just started playing I'll Follow You Into the Dark by Death Cab for Cutie. And I just started like singing along. You know, I never really sang before, like on and off, you know, I never really like found my voice or anything. But yeah, he just started like playing that. And I just started like singing along. And before I knew it, like we lived in a place with like fire, like three or four other guys. So like everyone was in the room and like everyone just stopped and like started recording. They're like, yo, this is amazing. Keep going. So we just like played the whole song pretty much. And they're like, yo, you guys have to do like an open mic night or something. Like, you guys are really good. And I was like, no, man, I don't do that. But then we actually like started playing more. And that was kind of the moment, the turnaround for music for me, where I was like, oh, you know, you should actually like, you know, practice and, you know, work on your voice and, you know, learn some scales and stuff. And honestly, like we did some open mic nights and it was, you know, it was fun. It was like completely out of my comfort zone. So that to me was like kind of the turning point, where I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is cool. Like, let's pursue that. And it was like, it's always like a feeling when you play in front of other people.
Yep.
You're like, are they going to hate it? You know, or what are they thinking? But then after I did it, I was just like, you know, it's just a good feeling of like, you know, I did that. Like, I felt really good about myself. So I wanted to chase that feeling a little bit.
So outside of the, I mean, I'm sure that's nerve wracking. I mean, it's like going out like open mic, you know, whether it's comedy or music or anything like that. I'm sure that's super like anxiety inducing. It's pretty intense, especially if it's like your first time doing it. You don't know how people are going to react.
Sure.
But was that part of like the allure to it also? Like, is that what, like, you love that feeling outside of the music of like performing in front of people and stuff?
I think so, honestly. Yeah, I mean, there's really like, it's a different feeling being on stage. Like, it's, you know, like nothing else really kind of matters at this time, you know. It's like you and, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, in Hello Central we have all of our original songs, so it's like we're playing, you know, songs that, you know, we created. Some of them like we created in like our bedrooms and stuff, you know, just like, so it's just a really cool feeling, you know, and it's a cool like expression of just like being on stage and performing in front of people. It's kind of just like unlike any feeling there is. And yeah, I think that, you know, as a band, that's the feeling we kind of chase, is like, you know, entertaining people and, you know, being on stage. And, you know, it's almost like we want people to be part of like a journey, you know, like,
gotcha.
So it's like for that, you know, 35 to 45 minutes of our set, it's like, you know, we're going to take you on like a musical journey. And it's like, you know, kind of sharing that feeling of like nothing else matters at this time, like just kind of, you know, come along for the ride. So dude, that feeling is really cool.
That's epic, man. Who is Hello Central? Like, I take it these aren't your friends from New York. These are just guys who you ran into here, or where'd you meet them?
No, it's so, you know, they all grew up together, you know. So we got Rob, Cody, and Justin. You know, they all grew up in, you know, Victor, New York, which is really close to like Rochester area, where, yep, where I went to school. Funny enough, I met Justin, who's our guitarist, my last semester at RIT. Yeah, we were in this like class together, and, you know, we never really, you know, knew what the hell was going on in the class, or, you know, never really knew what we were doing. So we just kind of bonded as the kids in the back of the class, you know, trying to just get by.
Right, right.
And yeah, then we just got started talking. I said, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, moving out to Colorado after the semester's done. He's like, oh yeah, I love Colorado. I was just there a couple months ago. You know, I'm thinking of moving there too. And so, you know, I knew Justin played guitar. Like, we actually jammed a couple times in like Rochester. It was kind of cool, but it was nothing more than just like porch jams and stuff like that. But yeah, so when I moved out here in like January 2016, him and Rob, who, you know, is one of Justin's best friends, moved out here a little bit after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cody was already out here, but I didn't know Cody until I met Justin and all them. So.
But they knew each other from, yeah, Rochester to Colorado?
Exactly, yeah. So they all grew up together. Yeah, they, you know, went to, you know, high school and all that. And then, yeah, so I met Justin. And then, you know, once Justin moved out here, we started playing a little bit more music. Usually nothing more than just like, you know, Saturday night, you know, we're having some beers, jamming and stuff. But, you know, we started just like, you know, writing some random stuff, you know, playing a couple covers. And, yeah, after a while, it just kind of formed into, you know, kind of what it is, I guess what it is today. It was funny, the first time I met Cody, it was my birthday, so, you know, around the end of April 2016. And, yeah, the first, and, you know, Justin was in town, he hadn't moved here yet, but I was, you know, but we went to a bar that no longer exists, like Falling Rock Tap House. You ever heard of that?
No.
Oh, it's like, it's somewhere downtown. So we went to there, and yeah, Cody showed up. So that was the first time I met Cody, but he had already been out here actually a little bit before me. Yeah, so yeah, first night I met Cody, you know, we were just shooting the shit, you know, having some JMO shots. Yeah, you know, it was a fun night. And, you know, Cody said that his band needed a bassist. So, you know, I played a little bass at the time, you know, nothing too crazy. I played a little bit in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I, yeah, I played in a band with Cody called Deep Waves for a little bit.
And that was another Denver local band?
Yeah, it was Denver local band, yeah. So I kind of hopped on. We, you know, we played a little bit. You know, never really got to the point of playing shows and stuff, but, you know, recorded a little bit of music. So, you know, still got some of those songs to the day. But, yeah, that kind of formed into, you know, so Cody and I played a little bit. Cody and Rob played together in, you know, some of their bands in high school. So then we all just kind of came together and, you know, started playing music. And I think one of the most important parts of our band was probably the house that we were a part of for 4 years. So we all lived together for like, okay, 4 years. Yeah. So we call it like the, you know, Monaco studio, we'll call it, but it was just like this house, you know, over kind of by like Glendale. So we, you know, they had a roommate that was leaving, so I hopped in, and, you know, after that, it was just, the rest was history. I mean, we just played in our basement, and we could practice in our basement all the time. So that kind of helped formulate our sound a little bit. It was just, like, being able to go down there and, you know, practice together and all that, so.
Was there, like, a defining moment when you guys went from, we're jamming, to, hey guys, let's start a band?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, I think it was probably somewhere around, you know, end of the summer 2017. You know, we're kind of just like, all right, you know, we got some songs we've been jamming on. They had some songs. You know, I had a couple of songs. We're like, all right, let's come together. Let's make this a band. Let's start playing. Let's take it, you know, take it a little more seriously. You know, like, let's practice, you know, on a schedule. You know, let's lay out, you know, flesh out some of the ideas, make them into full songs, and then kind of play there. And see what happens. Yeah, so that was kind of our first, like, I guess, formulation. We played a show at, like, a local coffee house, Rooster Cat Coffee House. You know, one of our buddies at the time owned it. So that was, like, in September of 2017. And then, yeah, that was the first time we played in front of people. We'd only been playing for a couple weeks before that. So, yeah, that was fun.
Rooster House Coffee Shop, huh?
It was, yeah, Rooster Cat.
Rooster Cat.
Yeah, it's not even, like, a venue, but they had, like, a... You know, they were having, like, a party, and they're like, I'll come play. And we're like, all right, yeah,
dude, sounds
good to
cool,
me,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was the first time we played, you know, in front of people and as a band. And, yeah, I mean, it was pretty exciting. And, yeah, I can't believe it's, like, that was, yeah, already over 5 years ago. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah, so.
Damn. So, now, between all you guys, do you guys have a common, like, genre that you guys... like, or a common set of bands that you guys like and that kind of pushed your guys' band to making that music? Or are you guys all over the place and you guys had to come to an agreement?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all grew up like Blink kids, you know, like we're all, you know, Blink 182 kids.
Dude,
you know,
I was going to say, man, shows, yeah. I've been listening to your music since I met you, man, at the Crag, and it's very reminiscent of Blink, and I'm a huge Blink fan myself.
Right on.
And when I hear these songs, like, I was just listening to Always Summer, you know, and very, like, man, it's like, man, dude, like, is this like a new Blink album? Like, very much, right, man. On. And it's cool, because for someone like me, it's so nostalgic, you know, because that sort of, like, I don't know, I'm not using the right term, but I'm going to call it, like, early 2000s pop punk, man.
Yep.
That sound that I love, I still love to this day. Like, I'm diehard between like, if you look at my Spotify playlist, like when I'm like driving to a climb or something, dude.
Nice.
It's Blink. I love what's it called, dude? Alkaline Trio.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Brand New.
Oh
the,
yeah,
dude. The brand Quiet new. Things That Ever. The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows is, like, still one of my favorite songs of all time.
But, yeah, that's another band that's, you know, influenced our sound a ton, is Brand New. Yeah, I mean, you know, we all grew up, obviously, like, in Brand New. So I'd categorize us as, like, you know, we do, you know, channel a lot of, like, Blink, you know, early 2000s pop punk. But we tend to, you know, have a different take on it, I feel like, than most modern-day bands. Like, you know, we're not... usually like the, you know, the really like hoppy, like bouncy type of pop punk. Like, we had a lot of you know, like atmospheric elements and, you know, different sounds in our music that I feel like, you know, set us apart a little bit. Like, we have a ton of influences from like Brand New. You know, we have influences from, honestly, like, you know, elements of like hip-hop, emo rap, stuff like that. We always try to make it up, and then we have like our, you know, heavier influences as well. So it all kind of, you know, comes together, and yeah, it's kind of cool.
Dude, that's awesome, man. So of, did you have any, would you say Blink was like your main, almost kind of musical heroes growing up?
Yeah, I'd say one of them. Yeah, I grew up on like listening to a ton of like, you know, post-hardcore too, and, you know, punk rock and, you know, all that. It's like, I grew up on like a lot of like Silverstein and, you know, a lot of harder stuff like We Came As Romans.
Were you ever a Transplants like fan?
Oh, what?
Transplants?
I think I saw them once. I never really got too into them, but they are pretty sick.
I went back and forth between a few different sectors, man. I mean, I'll always love pop punk, you know. I'm not ashamed to say, but as a kid, I was real deep into the punk rock scene too.
Nice.
So, I mean, going to both the punk rock and the ska scene.
Oh,
dude,
ska?
Dude, believe it or not, man, when I was in high school, dude, my freshman year, I had stop sign red hair, and I had a polo shirt, and I would wear a checkered tie with it, dude. And I mean, going nice. To rancid shows,
nice.
The Toasters, Mustard Plug, Operation Ivy. This is beforehand, but I still listen to them. Streetlight Manifesto.
Oh, Streetlight's cool,
dude. Yeah, just sure. amazing shows.
You ever hit that? You ever hit the Warped Tour?
So yeah. I never did Warped Tour. I liked more of the kind of smaller
local shows,
urban yeah. shows, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, we would just be packed in these little venues, man. And you know, the yep. Skank Pit, we'd be just going through. And I mean, you know, just dancing, dude. It was just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
But some of the best mm-hmm. memories of yep. my like youth, man, is going to these shows and seeing these bands.
For sure.
So again, man, it's cool that you get to do this, because it's like, you know, you get to live that nostalgia on the other end of things. And now you're that guy up on stage, just, yeah. You know, just inspiring these people, man. That's yeah. amazing. Dude.
Oh, man, when you put it like that, man, I'm tearing up.
Dude,
that's cool. Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, it's, you know, because I had similar experiences, you know, going to shows and stuff. Like, those are some of my fondest memories, too. And yeah, I guess just, you know, kind of, yeah, channeling, you know, similar feelings like that nostalgia, I think is great. And, you know, it's, you know, we're kind of just, you know, creating the music we want to create. We don't really have any, like, you know, like we're not signed or anything. So we don't have any, like, you know, I guess like boundaries. We can kind of just do whatever we want. And I think that's always a really, you know, fun, inspiring process, is just like creating something from nothing. So.
So for like myself and like the other non-musicians out there, like walk me through, if you can, like the creative mm-hmm. process, because I've always found it very intriguing. Like I used to play guitar, play my tabs and everything, but I'm reading other music.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I'm reading mm-hmm. other music, I'm going through, and then if I practice enough, I get it. But I've never written a song in my life.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about it momentarily, and then mm-hmm. I realized I have no idea
sure.
where to start. So how does that work with you?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I mean, there's always like the debate of like what comes first, like the lyrics and like the concepts, or like the music in terms of the actual like instrumentals. For me, I always do the instrumentals first, because I feel like that kind of informs like the mood or like the concept of of like a song. So for me, like I'll come up with a riff, and this is all like a very collaborative process. Like, you know, Cody writes a lot of the music, I'll write a lot of the music, Justin writes, you know, a lot of the riffs and stuff. So we'll come with like a riff, sometimes not even like a formulated idea, it'll just be like a riff that maybe kind of like, you know, invokes a certain mood, and we kind of have an idea of where we want to take it. And then from there, it's, you know, kind of just like fleshing out a bit of a structure, and that can always change. You know, we'll get like a basic structure, and then we'll, you know, kind of add different elements and different tones to kind of, you know, build out the, I guess, the atmosphere of the song. And then, yeah, you know, just, you know, getting some good melodies over it, you know, seeing what sticks, seeing what lyrical concepts stick. But, you know, no two songs are the same. Like sometimes, you know, like I've sat in my bedroom and, you know, created some songs from start to finish. I think there's a lot to be said about just like finishing a song, you know, even if you're like getting tired of it, because you never know kind of what it can evolve into. Like I've definitely written some songs and had just like a lot of like half written stuff there, and then I'm like, oh, but I got this new riff that I want to work on. But I always try to, like, now when I'm writing, I always try to like at least finish it to the point where I'm like, you know, happy with it, and it's got a fleshed out structure, because you never know what a song can turn into until you're actually like kind of doing it. It's like this whole process,
right? It's like there's a quote by, I believe, Hemingway, and he says the mm-hmm. first draft of everything is shit,
right?
You know, yeah. and I do a lot of writing too, and mm-hmm. that's kind of how I feel, is when I'm writing through, I kind of learn that I need to go through it, punch mm-hmm. through the paragraphs, get the storyline out there. I'm writing. And then when I go to reread, all right, now I can make changes. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
if I try and just focus on, I need to perfect this sentence or exactly. perfect this paragraph, I'm not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's gonna take too long, and I'm just going to give up.
Yeah.
So a lot of your songs, you create the music, you create the lyrics, and then there's a lot of, like you said, evolution.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It changes, and you get a lot of collaboration from your other band members.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, everyone brings something unique to the table. You know, like I said, we all got a ton of different influences. And yeah, we're all just like, you know, kind of, I'd say good at, you know, different things, you know, like, yeah, like, you know, even Rob, you know, provides a, you know, a lot of good feedback on the songs and, you know, kind of where to take it. You know, and obviously, you know, drumming is a critical element of, you know, any song. So, you know, the drumming is going to inform the music a lot too, kind of where the song goes. So, yeah, I mean, it all kind of, you know, comes together. And I feel like if we didn't really, you know each other for so long, we, you know, might not be able to come together so easily, you know, but we just kind of, at this point, we just have known each other so long. We're just, you know, kind of at that point where we can just, you know, kind of know generally where to take songs, what we should sound like, but there's always, it's always evolving.
I mean, I'm sure, especially listening to your music, there is very personal and emotional elements to it. It's not like, and nothing against like country music or anything like that. I don't listen to country, not into it. It's the only music I'm not into. I'm sorry, anyone who loves country music. But
that has its place.
But I just don't listen to it. But I've noticed that a lot of, whether it's country or a lot of like old school punk rock, you know, there's not so much hardcore emotion all the time. I know that there is some of it, but it, your songs aren't just like, you know, talking about going down to the punk rock show, like MXPX lyrics. Yeah, yeah. I love MXPX, but you know, they're like, let's go down to the punk rock show. And like, all it is about them going down to the punk rock show.
Sure.
You know, so it's kind of interesting that you guys have such a relationship and such a long-standing relationship. I'm sure it behooves you guys because you can be vulnerable with each other about these lyrics. Sure. You know, and you know, you're bringing these experiences, and that'd be pretty difficult if you were just with complete strangers. Like, hey man, I'm gonna give you some lyrics right now about a super personal experience, something that I'm feeling right now, something that I went through. So that's nice that you have that ability to share it with people who you trust.
Yeah, and well, I feel like we're all kind of, you know, at this basically the same point in our lives, so it's, you know, kind of like a culmination of, I guess, all of our experiences. You know, we've all had like, you know, plenty of like past relationships, and like, you know, we've all, you know, come from different backgrounds and whatnot. So it's kind of like, you know, all these, all the topics in our songs, you know, are just, I feel like, you know, we're all kind of are just like relatable based on, you know, where we're at in our lives, you know, being, you know, almost, you know, pushing 30. So
do you have a, and I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a weird question, but do you have a favorite song from your own band that like really speaks to you and always has, or was just something super special in its creation?
I'll be honest, and it's a strange one. I think my favorite song that we have is Don't Feel a Thing. So that's like, that's a song off our self-titled album that we released in 2021. And yeah, it just gets to me. I mean, Cody wrote that one, and I just remember, you know, when he showed me it in our basement at our old house, and he just like played it for me live, and I was like, oh, this song is like killer, because it's, you know, it's just, it's really emotional. Like, it's like a, you know, very deep song, and the you know, I think just like the way it was created is awesome. Like, you know, the guitar part that Cody wrote for that, you know, he just kind of did it in his room, you know, while he was drinking like a, you know, a glass of wine. I think there's just something to be said about that. And like, and yeah, like him and Justin actually had trouble like emulating it in the studio. Like, they just couldn't get it like perfect as that recording. So that's the take that's on the album, is just the guitar part. I think it's such a good riff. And yeah, I've always just liked that song. You know, it gets me in my feels, which is, I don't like always like to be in my feels when I'm listening to music, but that one, that one has always stuck with me. But that one's a little, you know, off the spectrum of our typical sound. But I mean, yeah, you know, I like a, you know, it's hard, because it's hard to pick a favorite. I mean, because they all kind of have, you know, unique stories and whatnot. I
dude, mean, I'm gonna save that one for this really excessive. But Don't Feel a Thing, everyone, if anyone's curious about
save
that
it for song. A nice rainy day. Yes. Yeah, but I mean, other favorites, you know, I really like When I Fall. You know, Morning Star is one of our more popular ones. That's a fun one. And yeah, you know, we have a, you know, it was funny, we were going through like all the folders and stuff of just like ideas and concepts, and we just have like so much stuff that, you know, we want to release, so we're gonna try to do as much as we can.
Dude, that's interesting that you had mentioned that, like, save it for a rainy day. A lot of people I love movies too. Like, I love music. Yeah. I'm not a musician, but I love music, like a lot of people, man. Yeah. And dude, my house always has music going, and I have, yeah, I feel like I have a playlist for my life. Like, that's awesome. When I'm waking up, when I'm cooking pancakes, when I'm,
nice,
you know, working out.
Got some Jack Johnson on there.
Sometimes
banana pancakes.
So when I'm writing, I've got my music. When I'm, you know, playing with Desir, I've got my music. But every single thing, it's like I get a playlist going, and it kind of makes everything a little more visceral.
Definitely.
Like, it kind of puts you into the moment a little bit more, if you will. And it's kind of interesting, like I said, that you say that, because I love movies too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I'm talking about movies, people will ask me, they're like, oh, hey, you know, what's some of your favorite movies? And I always respond, well, depends how you're feeling that day.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it depends how you're feeling, what you're going through and everything. And so there are some movies that I recommend. I watch a lot of like pretty like dark indie movies. Nice.
I like that. I'm a pretty big film buff too, actually. Okay. I minored in film. Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
We could probably talk about that for sure.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
So a lot of those, granted, I love action movies. I love all types of movies, but indie movies, especially like some of the more darker, more morose ones, mm-hmm, they kind of bring your mood down sometimes a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And at the same time, they kind of allow you to connect with what the director is trying to portray to you, mm-hmm, and everything. So when people ask me for some of these recommendations and things, I'm like, I'll say like a movie. Like one of my favorite movies is A Ghost Story.
Okay.
Like, I've always loved that. You ever see it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard of it, though. Yeah, who's in that one?
So that's with Casey Affleck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
he's awesome.
Dude, he says like, he has like 20 lines in the whole movie.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. It's one of those like, I think the whole movie probably has like 200 words in it. It's very minimal. So
that's pretty neat.
When I recommend that one, sometimes I'm like, hey, save this movie. Don't go home and watch this. Don't like wake up and watch it. Watch it on a day where maybe you're having a tough day, or mm-hmm, maybe you're just not feeling good for some reason. Sure. Maybe you're feeling a little bit down, or maybe someone broke your heart recently or whatever. And watch it alone at that time.
Totally.
You know, and so music, you know, at least from my perspective, is very similar. I like to listen to things that I'm feeling. I don't really listen to music to like bring me back up.
Yeah.
I listen to music that matches where I'm at right now. And it lets me connect a little bit more.
Yeah.
Do you happen to be a fan of Beach House by any chance?
Oh, Beach House is cool, yeah.
Dude, I'm a big Beach House fan.
I listen to a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, they really bring you, I mean, I feel like the best music like takes you to a certain place, right? Yeah. So that's a good example of
just
that.
Just very emotional
exactly.
music. And I think all music has that to some degree.
Definitely.
You know, and it just kind of comes at you from different angles.
Yeah. Yeah, like even like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. It's like each music, you know, kind of takes you to a place like, you know, even with country music, you know, that's, you know, probably the genre I listen to the least. Like, you know, I could jam some country on a boat, you know, drinking some White Claws. Like, yeah, why not, man?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I do like the connection between music and film, because, like, I'm a big, like, soundtrack guy, too. So
absolutely.
I think there's something to be said about, like, the visual connection and, like, the visual elements that, like, you know, music can kind of enhance. It just completely, mm-hmm, like, sets the mood for something. That's how I always kind of think of it. Like, I kind of want each song to, like, be its own little, like, movie or something. You
exactly.
know, it's cool. Yeah, so.
I was just rewatching another one of my favorites. You ever see Pan's Labyrinth?
Oh, I haven't. No, I saw you got a poster here, though. Yeah, no, I need to watch that one, yeah. Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, yeah, man.
That's on my to-watch list for sure.
Some movies, I just love when certain directors, when they get the match correct, mm-hmm, with their movie and the soundtrack going with that scene. I love when they get a perfect match.
Definitely.
And it's like, both of these are highly stimulating, mm-hmm, and they're bringing them together.
Definitely. That's, yeah, and like living in Colorado too, like, you know, some of my fondest memories here in music is just like, you know, listening to like Minus the Bear or like Tycho, just like driving through the mountains, like during sunset. It's like, it's something, you know, a lot of people experience. But yeah, it's just, yeah, that connection is like really cool, I feel like, with music. I just watched that movie, The Banshees of Inisherin, I think it's called. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson. I watched that last night.
Oh, really?
Dude, yeah, it's like super dark, which is cool. It's like a dark indie. You'd probably like it. Yeah, it's the same director as like In Bruges, which is a great movie.
Oh, I've seen that one.
So it's like really dark humor, which is cool. Love a good dark humor.
By the way, where did the name Hello Central actually come from? What is that?
Yeah, so Justin, took like a class in Alaska through his college, University of Denver, and there was someone in like one of the towns there, like someone over the radio, like this Alaskan guy would just be like, "Hello Central," and at the time, Justin was like, "Oh, this is pretty cool," and like wrote it down, and. Yeah, it just kind of stuck, like, when we were going through band names.
Okay.
Because it's just, yeah, it's a cool little story.
Cool, man,
It's just some guy in Alaska on the radio, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was always curious, and I didn't get a chance to ask you last time we were hanging up after climbing.
Yeah, it's just stuck, yeah, it's cool.
Very interesting. Since I know you mentioned that you're not, like, signed officially right now, mm-hmm. but you're still in the music kind of industry, do you feel like there's some changes that you would make with the music industry? Do you feel like there's some like fatal flaws with it and like getting music out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, in today's world, it's that, you know, it's just so easy to like, you know, pick up like a, you know, something electronic or something music, and it's like, I feel like there's just my trouble with music always is like there's so many great bands out there that just will like never be heard for like one reason or another. So like there's always the like promotion element to it. Yeah, it was funny. I mean, we were just talking, like we were just going through like all of our like releases yesterday and trying to like quantify, you know, like how much we've made, and it's like, I don't know, like, you know, you could have like a million streams on Spotify and get around like $4,000 or something, which is kind of crazy. It's like a million people listen to your song. So I mean, I feel like there's probably more that the industry can do to like, you know, incentivize artists and all that.
Are you guys putting out, I mean, obviously you guys are on Spotify and I'm sure many other platforms, are CDs a thing these days? Is that still a thing? Because I remember back in the day,
CDs, yeah,
you know, my punk rock shows, man, dude, I'd pick up the CD,
It's weird, yeah. We've thought about, you know, getting ourselves out there with like CDs. The problem is like, you know, not a lot of people just listen to CDs, I feel like, anymore. And you know, some laptops don't even have CD drives.
Kind
of
a lost art, right?
Yeah, I like CDs. I mean, I like vinyls too. Vinyls are really cool.
Dude, that'd be sick if you guys vinyls did vinyls.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. Yeah.
Could you imagine
that? Yeah. It's like there's such a crazy process to get vinyls. Like it takes like months and you gotta be like pressed and it's actually kind of a wild process, but we've thought about doing stuff like, you know, passing out like thumb drives because, you know, you can just plug it in the USB port, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I think the music industry as a whole now is, I think it's getting like a little bit better, you know, recently. Like I was getting a little tired of like the mainstream, like, you know, pop and like all this. I mean, there's still elements of that, and there's nothing wrong with that type of music, but I feel like music now is almost like involving like real instruments again, which is kind of cool. Thanks MGK, you know. But I'm like I said, my problem is always just there's so many good bands out there that I want to hear that'll just probably never be heard. So
dude, I do a lot of and I'm not sure if like, do you do this, do you jump onto like Spotify or something and just hit like find a band that you like and then hit the radio option?
Oh yeah, so totally.
It links all those bands. Dude, that's what I do most of the time when I'm listening to music. I do have a master playlist that I've been compiling for 5 years.
Nice.
You know, but a lot of times I do want to discover those bands because so many times I've been listening to the radio option on there and I'm going through, for example, like Beach House or I'm a big fan of the Pixies.
And nice.
And I'll be...
Love Fight Club. So that's that's... Yeah, that's like my favorite movie. So.
Dude, that's a great one, man.
Although I just talked about it. Damn it.
As I'm kind of going through, I'll be like chilling, you know, doing whatever I'm doing on that particular, you know, playlist. And the song comes on, I'm like, wait a minute, something's catching my ear right now. I don't know it, but I love it. Yeah. And then boom, you know, I got to get right there. On. And especially when I'm watching movies, dude, I don't know what I would do without the Shazam app.
Oh,
I
Shazam?
Think, totally. Dude, I think that's the coolest invention.
I agree.
Like, ever.
I agree. I know. I love being, I'll be in a public place and I'll be like, oh, that sounds good. Like,
Shazam it.
I'll be like, holding my phone up to the ceiling. Like, come on, pick up the song. I want to hear what the song is. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm weird when I listen to music. Like, I do the same thing. Like, I'll go, and if there's an artist I like, I'll go to, like, either the radio or the related artists. And, yeah, if something... for me, like, if something catches my ear when I'm doing that, like, exploration, I'll immediately go to the artist. But, like, I love listening to, like, the full albums. So, like, yeah, I'm weird. Like, I don't listen to, like, a ton of playlists. Like, I like to, you know, listen to, like, an album almost from, like, front to back. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, like... dive into it and, you know, like, really experience that journey. So
it is a journey.
yeah so for me with playlists, like, it's always like jumping around feels like a little frantic, but I like just like diving into an album, exploring that. So I'm weird when I listen to music. That's kind of how I do it. If I find an artist I like, I'll dive into the discography.
And I think that was so much easier in the past, mm-hmm. because I remember, you know, back in my youth, you know, I remember getting, I would go to FYE, if you remember that. Little CD store in the mall. I'd go there. I would get the new album of, you know, like, I remember picking up Blink-182, like, Enema of the State. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember picking up that, and I had a boombox in my bedroom growing up as a kid.
Sure.
And I would put that CD in, and I remember that's all I had. There was no Spotify back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I would put that in, and I would go all the way through, and then I would go all the way through again.
Yep.
And so every you were so familiar with every single song.
Exactly.
And it was just a thing that you did because you didn't have any other options. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to wait until the next month before I got my $7 allowance.
Yeah.
You know, and then I could go back to FYE and pick up another CD. Totally. But for that month, that was the CD I had. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that's
which kind is of, awesome, right?
Yeah, like, it's kind of just something that we don't really do anymore. We don't.
I agree.
We don't do these deep dives like we used to, because there's just, we're exposed to so much.
No, I agree. And like nowadays, you know, going back to like, I guess, you know, the music industry and getting noticed and like promotion, all that, like, you know, a lot of bands, in, you know, including us, will, you know, release singles, right? And, you know, that's just, you know, a good way to, you know, try to get on some playlists and whatnot. And like the algorithm of these, a lot of these platforms typically like favors singles, which is almost like, it kind of sucks because it's like, you know, you could have an album with a lot of amazing songs, but some of those songs will not, you know, get the recognition they deserve. Whereas, like you said, if you pick up a CD and, you know, throw it in your car, it's like you're listening to it front to back. You know, you're not skipping around. You're not like, you know, I mean, I guess you could skip certain songs, but generally you're going to listen to everything. So nowadays I feel like some of that's lost. So that's why with, like, you know, our next couple of releases, which we, you know, really haven't announced yet, but, you know, we're going to try to, you know, put out more like, you know, longer EPs or an album or something. So I think there's a lot to be said about that.
What does EP stand for? Because I've heard the word multiple times.
Oh God, I'm blanking.
But like EP, is that like a new album?
Think of it as like just like a collection of songs, a short collection of songs. Okay. Not quite an album. So, I mean, they're synonymous though, right? Like you can call anything an album.
Okay. So like if a band comes up with like, you know, 3, 4, 5 songs.
Yeah.
They would say,
they just say,
hey,
throw it in an EP. Yeah, exactly. EP. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's, you know, everyone can call it something different. Like, there's no really like, you know, right or wrong way, I guess.
So how do you feel the Denver music scene is in general? Like, do you feel like as far as music goes? Because again, I'm not in the scene, but I love music and I love Denver. Mm-hmm. And I love going to Denver. You know, I go to a bunch of different music venues, you know, a lot of jazz, to be honest.
Yeah.
But do you feel like this is a good place for music?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I always think of Colorado, right? As I say to people, like, there's a little something for everyone. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Denver music scene is the same way. Like, there's everything, you know, you could ever want. I think it's a great scene here. You know, for us, like, being in more, like, the pop-punk kind of, like, emo music scene, there's a, you know, ton of awesome bands, ton of local bands that, you know, we're really good friends with. Like, you know, off the top of my head, I'll shout out, you know, like, Losers Club, Relates, one of my favorite local bands. You know, they really channel kind of that early 2000s sound. Hold Fast is really good. You know, we played with them a bunch of times. So, you know, there's just, the scene is thriving for sure. Not only in the pop punk scene, you know, we have a huge EDM scene.
Mm-hmm. Dude, and a lot of historic venues too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of great venues here, which is awesome. Yeah, I mean that's I guess one of the benefits of, you know, being in like a bigger city is, you know, just, and that's another benefit is like all these good bands roll through, so they have all these awesome venues for these bands, mm-hmm. Which is great. Yeah, I mean, but I'd say yeah, the scene is awesome. Yeah, great local scene.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, do you, just kind of shifting a little bit, do your buddies or your band members, are they also in the climbing scene, or is that kind of something to where they're like, hey Frank, we should probably practice today. Sorry, bros, I got to go climb.
Yeah, no, they don't climb. No. I've taken like Justin once. He liked it, but yeah, no, they don't climb. Yeah, it's that's just kind of my thing.
So you're kind of the fringe guy.
Yeah. I do way too much shit in my life, and that's just, you know, one of them. I do a lot of different things, right? You know, not very well. I do them very average, so that's one of them. But yeah, it's fun.
Dude, you were crushing it.
It's a good balance.
When we're out there, man. You were crushing it, dude. I was very impressed.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I love climbing, like climbing outdoors. I like climbing in the gym, too. I mean, it's like, you know, I used to be like one of those gym rat guys that would like, you know, go to the gym and I'd like, you know, take the protein shakes and stuff. Which that was fun. Yeah, but lifting's fun. You know, it's like, I like always like working towards like a certain goal.
Yeah.
But so for when like I started climbing, I was like, and I was like awful. Like I, like we talked about being like natural at music and how I was like not really natural at music to start climbing. I was like, wherever the opposite of natural is, like I was not good. Like my first session, like I had to like tape my whole hands up. Like I ripped so many like calluses off. Like, oh, it was bad. But then, you know, I just like committed to it. I just got my first pair of shoes, climbing mm-hmm. shoes. And I was like,
that's the commitment right there.
And I was like, damn, these are expensive. I'm in this now. Yeah. So I bought those first pair of shoes and I was just got a, you know, gym membership and, started climbing.
And remind me, I asked you before when we met, how long have you been outdoor climbing for? When did you?
Oh, on and off, honestly. I've never really gone outdoors. I'll go like a couple times a year. I mean, I've been climbing now. I mean, I guess I started in 2015.
Okay.
But it's been kind of like on and off since then. I've done it way more recently, I'd say. Outdoor is really cool. Yeah, I mean, that's my goal this year is to like climb, you know, a lot more outdoors, specifically on ropes and all Excellent. That. Yeah.
Were you doing a little bit of bouldering?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of bouldering. Cool. Yeah, it's I was, you know, tempting. You know,
I got you.
I find bouldering
so modest, dude.
Yeah, bouldering in Colorado is tough, man. It's I mean, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm like hop on a V0. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get a nice warm up on this problem, and then before I know it, I'm 20 feet off the ground. I'm looking down. I'm like shaking. I got a like mantle on top of this thing. But yeah, no, I mean, bowling outside is fun. And to me, it's just like a, you know, the best thing, one of the best things about Colorado to me is then the, you know, the climbing in general is just like the community. Like, yeah. There's such an awesome community here, which I love. Like, you know, I've been going to Denver Bouldering Club, you know, for a while now. It's a great gym. Three different locations. I'll shout out their, you know, Heart and Soul Comp, which is actually coming up on March 18th. That's always like a amazing day where it's like all the community comes together. You're like, you'll get some pro climbers doing it too, so it's just so fun. Like everyone comes, climbs, you know, afterwards we all get like beers and like hang out and, like so I'll shout out that comp because it's awesome. But yeah, I mean, the community is just great here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's very reminiscent of the meetup community in terms of bringing people into the fold, and it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be like an intense day of only 5-12 plus, you know. It's just, hey, come on out, do some climbing, do, you know, hopefully learn something from different people, go out, grab some beers, some food afterwards. So I've come to respect that element of the climbing scene a little bit more, mm-hmm. because before, when I first kind of started getting into it, I was very much like, no, just mm-hmm. serious climbing only, right. You know, 100% focus. If, you know, just got to put all your heart into training and everything and do the hardest climbs possible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you kind of realize that a lot of people, they're not there to maximize their ability. Mm-hmm. They're there to enjoy some climbing, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Get a workout in because it's physically healthy, but also because there's other people there that are enjoying being outdoors, they're enjoying Mother Nature, mm-hmm. they're enjoying the physicality and the challenge of it.
Yep.
And if you think about it, I mean, there's not a lot of things in life that in these days we are able to physically challenge ourselves with.
Right.
You know, granted, for sure. You know, we have jobs and music is challenging, mm-hmm. I'm sure, and, you know, working a career is challenging, absolutely. But it's not the same physicality.
For sure.
It's not that same primal challenge that we kind of share with our ancestors.
Yeah, primal is, you know, a great word. Yeah. Yeah, like that's kind of what climbing feels like, it right? Is. It's like it's a very primal thing, and it's like it's all instinctual. You know, when you're on the wall, it's like everything else just kind of fades away, right?
Yeah,
just and you and the wall.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of cool because it's like, not sure if like you ever bring new people to the gym, but mm-hmm. I brought new people to the gym multiple times, and you know, I'll teach them how to do the technical aspects of, you know, tying a proper figure eight and how to belay and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they ask me, okay, well, are you going to teach me how to climb? I go, nope, just walk up to the wall and you're going to feel it.
Definitely.
Just, you know, let your body take over. And mm-hmm. it does.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a great way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there is nothing to teach. You know, it's inside you. You know how to do it. Just gotta walk up there and, you know, kind of revert back to your caveman self, for sure. if you will.
I think problem is a great word for it. Yeah, I mean, it's like how many different activities, right, can you just like bring a group of like strangers together, right? Like say like the meetup, like you can bring a group of strangers together and just like, you know, have an awesome time, right? Because it's like, you know, you're all just, you know, got the same goal, you're all just like, you know, trying to get up the wall, you're all just there to have a good time and like really, you know, improve yourself as well, right? Because it's all like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like that physical battle, but it's also the mental battle. So it's like all those hurdles. And you know, I feel like having a supportive community and like supportive people around you just like really, you know, kind of enhances that, which is nice.
Dude, you got to think about it, man. You live a pretty badass lifestyle. Like when you take like the culmination of like, you know, what you do, man, it's pretty badass. You're a climber by day, a rock star by night.
I got a typical 9-to-5 too. Like I'm analyzing data all day. I'm looking at, Excel.
That kind of like reminds me of like the whole Clark Kent story. Yeah. Like you've got this like chill job just to like assimilate and pretend like you're one of us.
Yeah. It's always funny. Yeah. Like I don't talk a lot about my band at work because it just feels kind of weird. But maybe I should. But yeah, it is kind of funny.
Do people know?
Yeah, people know. They've come to shows and stuff. But it is kind of funny because it's like when I'm like I feel like I have a different persona at work than like, you know, band and like it's just kind of funny.
Because you're kind of in like the corporate atmosphere, right?
Yeah. I work for a corporate company with a good culture. It's just a different. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I'm also getting my MBA part-time at CU Denver too. So,
okay.
Yeah, working on the career. To me, it's like I'm always, you know, I always like to, you know, work towards something.
So. Is it pretty tough doing a split? Because I know you take Hello Central seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your passion. Is it hard putting your focus into this musical passion mm-hmm. and also keeping up and wanting to progress on the more traditional career side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we all have, you know, full-time jobs where we're, you know, working 9-to-5. And, you know, the band's kind of like a, you know, a thing we've done on the side. I feel like just where we're at now, like we don't need to, you know, practice as much or any of that. And we all have like similar goals, you know, where, you know, like recording music and playing, where I feel like we can balance it probably now a lot better than, you know, a band like maybe just starting out. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always hard to balance everything. But I feel like it's, you know, definitely doable if you're, you know, pretty like upfront with like, you know, okay, we'll do this then, and we, you know, we try to plan as far ahead as possible. So it's definitely doable. You know, anyone's out there who's working 9-to-5, just start a band. You know, it's not, it's doable. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for someone? Cause I'm sure there's plenty of people in that situation that mm-hmm. like maybe are on the fence about it. Do you have any advice for new groups that are kind of jamming, kind of like you were in the past,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of thinking about making that transition? Any advice or things that you would have done differently?
Yeah, I feel like for like anyone that's, you know, maybe has like a solo project or something, honestly, just like get out there and play some open mic nights and just like do it. Like conquer those initial like fears. Because once you do that, you know, you'll realize that, you know, you can really do anything, right? You know, like, and, you know, if you put your heart behind your music and, you know, that, like, that's going to show. So that'd be my first thing would be like, you know, just, you know, finish those songs, you know, you've been working on, you know, stop sitting on them, stop being, oh, is this good enough? Is this good enough? Stop worrying about the little details and just finish them and, you know, see if you can play some open mic nights, you know, and, yeah, just have fun with it. That's the most important thing always is just, you know, have fun with it. And yeah, for any like new bands, I'd say really just like meet bands in your local community and just like, you know, really, you know, bands you vibe with, like become friends with them, like play shows with them. And that's good. It's going to open up a ton of doors, later on, I'd say. So that would be probably, you know, probably one of my biggest tips. Yeah. And promote your music too, if you can, if you have the ability to, which is always tough, but, yeah, I'd say networking's crucial.
How hard is it to kind of get that initial show? Like if you're mm-hmm. headlining for someone or anything like that, are you just kind of going to these venues, connecting with the manager and saying, hey, we would love to play mm-hmm. for you, check out our music, and they listen to it and call you mm-hmm. back? Or
pretty much, yeah. How it started, I mean, it was typically, you know, yeah, we'd send some emails with our, you know, like, hey, here's a couple samples of our music. Here's, you can find us on Spotify. And then, you know, typically they'll go through and, you know, if they like what they hear, they'll go through, they'll book us on a certain night that maybe has, you know, bands that they would deem similar or in the same genre. So that's kind of how it started out. Yeah. And I feel like there's, you know, some venues are like more, I'd say, like venues where you can get your foot in the door, where they have a lots of different kinds of shows, probably more like Herman's and venues like that. You can always, you know, get your foot in the door.
Herman's Hideaway?
Like, yeah.
The place dedicated to...
Yeah, that was where we played our first show. Yeah.
What are they... Is that... No, you know what? I'm thinking of... I know Herman's Hideaway. I'm also thinking of Sancho's Broken Arrow.
Oh, I've heard of that.
The place dedicated to the Grateful Dead.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, they do love the Grateful Dead here in Colorado, which is awesome. But yeah, honestly, I mean, there's tons of like smaller venues out there too, like, that you can get your foot in the door, and then that'll just open the, once you get those like initial shows out of the way, you'll meet people, you know, not just like people, not just like, you know, promoters and stuff, but you'll meet people, you'll meet local bands, and, you know, who knows, maybe they'll ask you to hop on a bill later on at a larger venue. It's all kind of this, it's a system of, I guess, like paying your dues, right? You know, you start out small, really, which is good, because, you know, you want to find your sound, you want to you know, give people a taste of that live experience, and then, you know, you just get, you know, better and better over time, play bigger venues, stuff like that.
How often are you guys putting on shows now?
So we've always treated shows as like events, pretty much, where it's like, you know, we'll invite all our friends, we'll be like, hey, come have a good time. So for us, we'll typically never play, definitely never more than a show a month. Honestly, typically, I'd say on average, every two to three months, we'll play a pretty big show. Because it's like, we want people to like come out, enjoy it, have it be an event. If we're like, oh yeah, we're playing this show, you know, one week, and then the next week we're playing another. It's, we found that, you know, treating it as an event really gets people there, gets people excited, and it doesn't become like repetitive. And we always try to do something different each show, like maybe we'll do a new song or like a cover or something. So it keeps it interesting for us. And that's, goes back to the balance too, where it's like we all have jobs, and, you know, that's what works for us and works for, you know, what our goals are. So
when is your guys's, do you guys have anything planned upcoming?
We do, yeah. So we have next week, we're doing 303 Day at number 38, which is a, you know, pretty cool bar in Rhino. So we're playing with a couple different bands there. That's put on by Indie 1023.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had this like contest where people had to vote on you know, they're like favorite Denver bands. There was like, I think like 143 bands, and, you know, we came in fourth. So that was pretty cool.
Dude, that's awesome.
So yeah, so we're playing that. And then in April 14th, we're playing at High Dive, which is cool because that's our first time playing there. So that's a cool, you know, that's a nice historic little venue.
So was it number 38?
Yeah. So yeah, 303 Day. Yeah. So March 3rd, that's March next Friday. Yeah, we play at number 38. We'll go on around 7-ish. So, yeah, free show. So, yeah, depending on when this airs, yeah, come on out.
Rhino. Or,
yeah, yep.
Rhino, number 38.
Yeah, come next out. Friday. Have some drinks, free show. Yeah, come jam with us. We'll be chilling after.
Awesome. And then you said High Dive. Where's that at?
That is, I believe, on Colfax.
Here, let's.
I always get Colfax and Broadway confused. I'm so bad at directions, man.
All right, wait,
I look so dumb. I'm going to look it up.
Wait, all right. We're going to find this because I want
to. All right, it says on Broadway. Right. I overthink things.
So, number 38.
Yep.
That's going to be 3560 Chestnut Place. Shout out to them for putting this on. That's awesome. And then High Dive. All right.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, what was that High Dive date again?
Yeah, so that High Dive date is April 14th. Yeah, and honestly, like, we're always putting out updates and stuff for what we're doing. So, yeah, follow us on Instagram at Hello Central. That's kind of our main point of communication. You know, we're also on Facebook. We're also trying to get TikTok going. So, yeah, at Hello Central on TikTok, too. Yeah, so we'll be putting probably some studio updates there and, you know, just stuff as we go along as we're writing new music and stuff. So, yeah, fun stuff.
Dude, that's awesome. All right, so at Hello Central, yep. Both on... on Instagram primarily,
yep.
And Facebook.
Yep, exactly.
Awesome.
Yep.
Dude, and like I said, if you guys want to check out Hello Central Music, I listen to it on Spotify. I'm a subscriber, I guess.
Nice. Is that love what you it. Call it? Follower, subscriber. Follower? Yeah. Love it. Hello Centralite.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
Seriously, man, your guys' music is awesome, man. Like I said, after I met you, I remember I just jotted down real casually in my notes, man, like, you know, hey, Frank's with Hello Central, and driving home that day, you know, we were in Golden, I believe. Driving home that day, I'm like, you know what, I got like a 35-minute drive home. Mm-hmm. Boom, dude, I put it right on, and I'm like, dude, I'm digging it, man. And love I honestly it. Wanted to have reached out if I wasn't really stoked about your music, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it's just, dude, it you're bringing back something that does speak to me.
That's awesome.
Kind of that kind of genre, man. And I think it's awesome, man, what you're doing out there.
Thanks, man. Now, I think it's awesome what you're doing with the podcast, too, man. I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, bringing local artists, musicians included, you know, business owners, everything. Yeah, because, you know, Colorado is pretty killer and there's a killer climbing community. And, you know, it's a lot of diversity in the community. So, I mean, I think, you know, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Dude, awesome, man. Well, guys, reach out to him if you need, and hopefully I will see you guys at one of the upcoming shows. But, Frank, thanks again for coming out, dude.
All right, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Hope everyone's been having a fantastic winter. Whether you're getting after some hiking, snowboarding, outdoor climbing, or indoor climbing, and just getting those skills up, all right, that's what it's all about in kind of this off-season, if you will. I'm sure a lot of you have a lot of fantastic outdoor adventures coming up in the spring and planning for the summer. I know I've been taking a lot of advantage of this planning time and just prepping up some navigation, gear, supplies, some different routes, and I'm looking to take the adventures to the next level this upcoming season. So I'm sure I'll see a lot of you guys out there, and in the meantime, just keep on enjoying.